You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Datt, and today we are talking Phillies baseball, and we bring in our Phillies reporter for MLB.com, Todd Zielecki. Todd, the rumors recently have linked the Phillies to Alex Cobb. They're still on the market for a starter, as we know. How well do you believe Alex Cobb would fit in here?
I think he would fit in great, for a lot of reasons. You know, they definitely need some starting pitching help. He's shown that when he's healthy, he can be a very effective and be a quality starter. Now, unless something has changed with the Phillies, the only way I see it happening is if the asking price goes down. I just don't think the Phillies are in a position where, you know, even a guy like Alex Cobb or Lance Lynn, if they're still looking for 4 or 5 year deals, you know, $15 million or more per year, I just don't know if the Phillies are going to go there. Now, I could be wrong, you know, like in a couple of days it could be Alex Cobb, 5 years, $90 million deal or something. But based on everything that the Phillies have said this offseason publicly, and even just talking to some sources privately, you know, they don't feel that they're at that point right now where, while they feel good about where the team is going, they don't feel that they're at that point right now where they want to commit a significant contract to a starter. And like, again, they like Alex Cobb, I'm sure, and he would fit in great, but you can commit, you know, $80, $90 million to him when, hey, maybe Nick Pivetta or Ben Lively or some of these minor league pitchers coming up through the system can be just as good as him, if not this year, then next year, for a heck of a lot less money.
Do you think there's another name out there that makes more sense?
You know, I think any of those names, you know, I just mentioned Lance Lynn. I think if I had almost had to rank it in order now, and this is not going to excite Phillies fans at all, I think in likelihood of happening, I think number one right now is they sign a guy to a one-year deal. And they've done that the past two off seasons. They either acquired in trade or signed. They got Clay Buchholz, Charlie Morton, and Jeremy Hellickson. I almost see them doing that at this point because there's so many free agents still on the market. I kind of think that they're waiting to see if they can get somebody that's maybe better than a one-year deal but has to settle for a one-year deal. And then after that, I think that they could sign maybe a guy to a multi-year deal, like a three-year deal. I just don't see him going longer than 3 years unless it's like a crazy offer they can't pass up. And then after that, I think they could still trade for maybe a starting pitcher. But again, same situation. In conversations I've had, the Phillies don't feel like they want to give up the farm for a starting pitcher when they don't really feel that they're there yet. You know, if the Phillies had won 83 games last season and they're like, oh my, if we get one starter, like we're a postseason team, then I think they would maybe give up a big chunk of their farm system. But because they still do have so many question marks and uncertainties going forward, I just don't think they're going to do that either.
All right, they have a crowded outfield right now, but they've also been linked to the Marlins' Christian Yelich. I know a lot of teams have, but the Phillies have the guys to be able to pull it off. What would they have to give up, though?
Yeah, that's that, and this is kind of the same situation as like a Gerrit Cole or a Chris Archer. The Phillies love Christian Yelich. I mean, there's no question about it, and they would love to have him hitting, you know, third in their lineup, first, second, or third in their lineup. I think to get a Christian Yelich from the guy from the Marlins, it would have to be like Scott Kingery, who's one of the top prospects in baseball, Sixto Sanchez, who's one of the top pitching prospects in all of baseball, and maybe, you have to send back, I think, a big league ready outfielder. So that would maybe be Nick Williams, maybe be a Doable Herrera or an Aaron Altair, and quite possibly another couple prospects, you know, pretty solid prospects. So they have to give up a big chunk. And again, I think for the same reason, the Phillies don't feel they're just one piece away yet from competing. I don't know if they're going to give up that high of a price, but I do think that they are continuing to monitor that situation. And I think if the price would come down and they would feel a bit more comfortable with the pieces they would give back, again, they would really love to have Christian Yelich on the Phillies roster.
Well, that's the thing with this low market, right? There is a chance that a lot of these guys' price tags drop and the teams end up being more aggressive than they originally thought because of the price tags dropping. And you end up getting a lot of teams signing guys that they wouldn't necessarily have thought that they would have brought in or would have been too expensive beforehand. And, you know, all of a sudden you have this free agent frenzy here in the last month right before spring training starts. And, you know, it's kind kind of like a free-for-all because everyone's in the same boat.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, like, say, for instance, you know, Alex Cobb, say right now he's looking for 5 years, like I mentioned earlier, like 5 years, $90 million. Now all of a sudden, say it's, you know, February 10th and he's unsigned and the Phillies go, how about 3 years, 45 with, you know, a player op, you know, like whatever. They could get creative, right? And maybe 3 years, 45, the Phillies are like, we'll take Alex Cobb for 3 years, 45. So all of a sudden, boom, now they've got Alex Cobb a couple days before camp opens. So, yeah, I think you definitely could see that. And then that could kind of trickle down to some of these young controllable players like Yelich or Chris Archer or Gerrit Cole or whomever.
Yeah, it's very interesting watching this market moving like molasses. All right, let's talk about some of the guys that they do have. Obviously, the newest member of the team, Carlos Santana. He was seen pushing a car uphill this week in what seems like his new weekly workout video. Let's just talk about how excited this fan base should be about the addition of Santana now that the dust has settled on the deal.
You know, I think the fan base is really excited, relatively speaking, because right now everybody's all geeked up about the Eagles and their playoff game and their postseason chances. But I do think that Carlos Santana got Phillies fans excited and Philly sports fans excited because he kind of represented kind of like the beginning, you know, you can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel a little bit. I don't want to totally compare it to the Jim Thome signing in like November of 2002, but there's a little bit of a similarity there. You know, the Phillies had been a losing team for a long time. They had started to improve. They had some young prospects coming up. You know, you had J-Roll in his second year. Utley was coming up. Howard was coming up. Brett Myers was coming up. And then they got Thome. It was like, wow, okay, now things are finally cooking. And I kind of see that with Carlos Santana. You know, different players. You know, Thome was an MVP candidate, you know, home run champion. Carlos is a different player, but a very impressive offensive talent. So I think Phillies fans are going, if things do break right, I can see them not only being a 500 team, but if things break right, maybe even keeping things interesting in September, maybe even kind of being on the outside and having an outside chance at winning a wild card spot.
Of course, yeah. Another part of the future of this team is J.P. Crawford. MLB Pipeline's Jonathan Mayo caught up with him at last week's Rookie Career Development Program. Here's what he had to say about the future of the Phillies.
J.P., I'm sure you don't get tired of talking about your big league call-up and everything, but I'm just curious to... You know, you get called up, and at the same time, they want you to, you know, start moving around a little bit. It seems like you handled all that well, but what was going through your head when you're trying to get your feet wet in the big leagues for the first time, and you know, getting a handle playing positions that you weren't really that comfortable playing?
Well, I was just out there trying to have fun. I mean, just trying to soak it all in. I mean, my teammates had a really good part in that because with them being so humble and so caring for me. And help my game better, just going out there being more comfortable.
Made it easier for you to be like, yeah, whatever you need me to do?
Yes.
Your path to the big leagues, I mean, you got there at such a young age, but it hasn't always been, you know, direct yet. You know, can you talk a little bit about how maybe some of the struggles, the adversity you had has helped make you a better overall player?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, last year, first half, I struggled really hard, really bad, and I think I learned a lot about myself as a person and as a player. I mean, knowing that I could get through anything, it helps me a lot. My confidence went right back up, and I'm not trying to look back. It's only going to move forward from here.
Speaking of moving forward, so this offseason you find out that Freddie Galvis gets traded, which obviously kind of opens a door for you. How did you find out about the news, and what was your initial reaction when you heard about that?
I love Freddie, man. He was one of the greatest teammates I'll ever play with. I mean, he helped me out so much when I got called up. He was every day we're taking ground balls. He was helping me out, and I mean, I hope the best for him in San Diego. And I mean, for us, we're just trying to win out there, so we're gonna see what happens.
Does it raise your level of excitement? You're going into spring training, even if he's there, thinking, right, maybe I have a chance to make this team. It seems like the window's a little more open for you to take an everyday job at your natural position.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's up for grabs for anybody. So spring training, I'm gonna go out there, work as hard as I can, and hopefully win the job.
What are the things that, you know, the time that you were in the big leagues that you learned that you say, okay, these are the things that I need to really work on to be ready if I'm, you know, lucky enough to win that job?
Yeah, definitely. I think I got to work on just getting stronger and just staying in my approach, not getting out of my approach, trying to swing for the fences and whatnot. I mean, I think that's where I get into trouble. It's just stay within myself in the batter's box and be confident. Don't lose sight of anything and just be yourself and have fun.
You've always had a really good approach, you know, see pitches, take walks. Have you found, like, can there be a thing of being too patient? Like, you're looking at too many pitches, and maybe you're missing the good pitch to hit in an at-bat?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I think it all goes into the game situation, the pitcher and all that. But, yeah, I definitely agree that there could be times where you're too patient, you miss your pitch, and the bat just wastes away.
A couple sort of more fun questions for you. What's your go-to uniform number? Like, if you could make sure you had a number, and why is it that that's the number?
I would go with 3, because one of my best friends in high school, all throughout playing when we were younger, his number was 3, and he passed away a couple years ago. So that's why I changed my number to 3.
What was his name, if you don't mind me saying?
Brian Beato.
What's the craziest experience you've ever had in baseball?
It was in low A. Our manager got ejected. I think 3 other players got ejected, and then the manager came out to the field and got ejected again.
2 ejections in one game. I didn't even know you could do that.
Me neither, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty good. What's your fondest, like, childhood memory, maybe going to a major league game, interacting with a player, and, you know, anything like that as a kid?
I'll always remember, it was me and one of my good friends. It was probably 2nd or 3rd Angel game, and we were right by the dugout, and the first base coach, I forgot his name, he gave me a ball. You know, it's something I'll always remember.
Hey, Todd, what does Crawford mean to this organization going forward?
Well, he is a big part of this rebuild, and when I said earlier, if things break right, then this team could kind of surprise some people and play some meaningful games in September, I think J.P. Crawford is a huge part of that. You know, they traded Freddy Galvis to the Padres. Freddie was a brilliant defensive player, 680 OPS guy, so not very productive overall offensively. You know, they expect JP to not only hold his own defensively, but to be a, you know, maybe not this year, but a all-star caliber type of shortstop offensively going forward. You know, he might not hit for a ton of power, but, you know, a guy that is going to have a 350, 360 on-base percentage, hit a bunch of doubles, and really kind of be a force in this lineup. So, you know, if he does what he's supposed to do, you know, he hit, like, in very limited time last year, he hit about 215, but he had like a 350 on base percentage. Say he hits 275 with a 380 on base percentage or a 375 on base percentage, and just kind of helps that lineup keep turning over, you know, I think that's going to be huge. So they're definitely counting on him. You know, they're banking on him. They don't really have another shortstop in the waiting. If JP doesn't turn out, don't worry. We've got this guy right now in AAA or AA. You know, they think that he's going to be a guy for years to come.
Yeah, the light at the end of the tunnel, like you said, is it's there definitely. Phillies fans can see it. They'll probably see it a little bit more clearly when the Eagles finish their playoff run, you think about it. But we'll wait for that to happen. All right, that's going to do it for us here on MLB.com Extras, the Phillies edition. We will be back next week with a brand new episode, so stay tuned. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
Thanks.